Get rid of data centers and start using cloud computing. It seemed like a simple directive from the White House, but nothing in the federal government is that easy. Confusion over how to incorporate cloud security standards into cloud contracts has reached a breaking point. The Office of Federal Procurement Policy is jumping in to clarify the best ways for agencies to use the Federal Risk Authorization and Management, or FedRAMP, standards in their solicitations. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me with details about the new guidance and other expected changes to FedRAMP coming in 2015. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so what is left to clarify? What does OFPP have to do now?
Well, I think there's two reasons why this clarification is needed. I think number one is how do you put FedRAMP standards into cloud computing contracts? You think it's easy, as you mentioned it, but it's never that easy because everyone interprets it a little differently. And a second reason why they're doing this clarification is to give agencies maybe some standard approaches for how to put those provisions in the contracting in the solicitations. Matt Goodrich is the acting director of FedRAMP.
Right now it has in the policy memo, agencies must include FedRAMP in their contracts and enforce it contractually. Mm-hmm. There's no guidance exactly on how to do that. So we're going to be having some contract language come out. We have some already, but having some contract language with some more practical guidance and implementation guidance around it, as well as some additional things like exactly what's the evaluation criteria for agencies when evaluating that proposal that comes in. So we'll be working on that. And also with OMB, we're collaborating with them on how to more effectively incorporate those questions around cloud usage and contracting, enforcing FedRAMP via contracts and things like that, and their portfolio stat reviews with agencies. So as they're using cloud and moving to the cloud, how are we actually actively working with agencies to ensure that they're doing that? Because yes, they absolutely are mandated to put FedRAMP into any cloud contract.
Now, Goodrich didn't say when OFPP would issue this new guidance, this new clarifying language. I did reach out to OMB. They did get back to me saying they are working with agencies, make sure they have the tools they need to make sure that they can, you know, put the contracts together as best as possible. So not much more details except for what you heard there, but something is coming. We know that much.
Now, this goes back to December of 2011. That's when OMB issued the first acquisition requirement for cloud services. Why now? What's your sense of why they think they need to do this now?
Right. Now, I think there's a couple of reasons. I think the maturity of FedRAMP is one reason. Hey, that memo is 3 years old. It kind of took me by surprise a little bit as I was doing some research for this story. I went back and I was like, wow, December 2011. I was like, we're in December 2014. Things have changed so much over the last 3 years around FedRAMP, around cloud security, around cloud services more generally. Remember, Tom, beginning in June, agencies were mandated, OMB mandated them to only use cloud services that have been through the FedRAMP process, that have been approved under the FedRAMP standards, whether by the Joint Authorization Board, which is made up of DHS, DOD, and GSA, or from an agency approval. But the point is, you got to use them. So I think that's part of the reason why there's this mandate and this maturity. The other piece of it is agencies are spending billions of dollars on cloud services. So, of course, they're going to be contracting for these services more and more. So I think they need to kind of help understand as more and more agencies, and it's not just the CIO's offices, but it really just trickled down through the entire agency, are looking for cloud services. I also think there's been some confusion over what they have to do. What does the memo really mean? If you go back to that December 2011 memo, it only says that agencies must ensure that acquisition requirements address how they maintain FedRAMP security authorization requirements and that relevant contract provisions related to contract reviews and inspections are included for CSPs, cloud service providers. What does that mean? It doesn't say how to do it, how best to do it. So Kathy Conrad is the General Services Administration's Acting Associate Administrator of the Office of Citizen Services and Innovative Technologies.
The concern that we have is that there are agencies who are requiring FedRAMP compliance as a condition for eligibility to bid, which we feel is inappropriate and unduly restricted. Much in the same way most IT requirements or many IT procurements don't require an ATO in order to bid, but rather an ATO in order to go into operations. And so we're looking to clarify that to avoid restricting cloud providers who are in the process of becoming compliant or are prepared to receive a FedRAMP ATO after award and before the agency needs them to have that ATO to go live.
Now, Conrad says the Program Management Office for FedRAMP is even considering whether agencies could issue an interim authority to operate, commonly known as an IATO, so they don't have to wait the 9 to 12 months that it traditionally takes for a vendor to go through the entire FedRAMP approval process. Now, let me be clear here. Conrad says the IATO is one option. It's not the only option, and it's far from a done deal in terms of allowing agencies to issue an interim authority. She says that GSA, DOD, DHS-led Joint Authorization Board, again, the JAB, is not considering an IATO, and I think it's very important to know that. But at the same time, Congress says FedRAMP PMO must balance the need for rigorous approval processes with the need for allowing innovative cloud service companies access to the federal market more quickly. I think that's one of the complaints, is that it just takes so long. If I'm a vendor who offers a new service that the agencies could use, why bother? It's going to take too long to get through. I can sell it to the commercial world.
It's kind of like they told agencies, line up at the starting line and go, and then they put up a big wall 10 feet down the track there that they have to get over, which is all this FedRAMP. Jason, how many FedRAMP-approved vendors are there at this point? Does anybody know?
Sure. So there's a whole list, and one thing about the FedRAMP program is they've been as transparent as possible. So there are 15 approved vendors. Now, some of them are JAB, some of them are agency approved. In fact, there's a third path that the first one just came through, which is the company says, we've done the preliminary, work. We've put all our documents in the document repository. So based on what the FedRAMP PMOs looked at us, we haven't gone through the JAB, we haven't gone through the agency process, but we believe we're FedRAMP approved, so all our document is there for agencies to look at and decide if we meet the grade. So 15, and Matt Goodrich said yesterday there's 15 more in the queue waiting to get through the JAB process. And remember, Tom, the only people that go through the JAB process are the ones that are government-wide services are going to be used by the most agencies. So I think those are the big ones that are still going through the process. You can find who sure. They are. There's a web page that lists everybody.
All right. We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Now, you reported just a few weeks ago that FedRAMP was going to develop a high baseline standard for the more secure stuff. That was supposed to come in early 2015. Anything new on that front?
Well, I think there's a lot going to be going on with FedRAMP over the next year. I think the news we reported about that high baseline standard or high protection needed under the FISMA, that's a huge deal. Now, we learned again that the draft high baseline will be available for the first round of public comments in January. And Goodrich says the PMO plans on finalizing it in the next year.
One thing that I think our stakeholders will very much appreciate is as we put that baseline out, it'll be different than you've seen before because we'll actually have justifications for why we selected additional controls. Previously, we just put out the baseline and said, here's our baseline, respond to it. Now we're saying, here's our baseline above the NIST already mandatory controls at high, and here's why we selected additional controls and why we think they're important. So we should have a better dialogue among all of our stakeholders as to why we're asking for certain things. And if a provider says this control is too expensive, then provide two alternatives that might be a cheaper way to do it, but achieve the same net goal.
Now, Conrad says being transparent on the intent of what they're doing will help industry suggest those alternatives will be less costly, but still is rigorous. Remember, the whole point of FedRAMP is rigor. Got to be a rigorous process. Matt Goodrich says the FedRAMP enters year two. The PMO's goal is to ensure that agencies know that this is not a General Services Administration or JAB program, but really a government-wide program. So they're doing this in several different ways. First, the PMO is going to establish a bunch of different working groups. Goodrich says the working groups are part of how the PMO wants to create that sense of ownership and collaboration among agencies.
There's going to be multiple levels of the working groups. One is sort of having just the general high-level working group that is the FedRAMP points of contact at each agency talking through what their compliance numbers look like, what major issues are, going through what they're reporting into OMB and making sure that we're actively working with them around sort of that baselining of the metrics that I had talked about and understanding where we really are with cloud use and FedRAMP across the government. And then we'll also have working groups going under there. There will be ones that could be potentially looking at, say, the newest U.S. CERT reporting guidance on incident reporting and making sure there's a group of people who are dedicated and looking at that and saying this is how it specifically applies to agencies and as agencies use cloud providers. And then also there's the ideal of with the multi-agency working group model I mentioned with that of, hey, I have six agencies. Those six agencies are using the same six CSPs. One agency takes the lead of each working group, and you all do one authorization, and you get five for free from the other agency.
Now, Congress says agencies have been hesitant to go through this FedRAMP process on their own because the reviews are there's no incentive there for them because they're going to do all this work and the other agencies will borrow their work. And that's part of the program's the plus of the program is that you don't need to go through it. It's the 80-20 rule. Someone does 80% of the work for you, you just do that last 20. But at the same time, a lot of agencies have been saying, well, that's a lot of work and that's a lot of expense. Why should I do it so everyone else benefits?
Sure.
So I think GSA, the PMO, has heard this and they're trying to bring these groups of similar agencies or similar needs together so they can, you know, kind of borrow and take advantage of each other's work. The Goodrich also says the goal of these working groups will be to set up in the next 6 months. So something obviously to look out for. Another important improvement around the PMO is measuring how they measure FedRAMP's impact. Goodrich says the metrics effort is part of how the program management office wants to increase the use of FedRAMP enterprise-wide.
We actually need to really understand who's using it. So we need to establish the FedRAMP metrics. Who's using it? Where are they using it? Where are cloud service providers actually in agencies and have current customers? Where are their cloud providers that want to come into the federal government? Really understand the total depth of cloud across the federal landscape. Also with that, we want to make sure that we update our implementation guidance. We know as agencies to do FedRAMP, they must understand exactly how to do it. And so while the process is pretty clear and been straightforward and public for a while, actually implementing that within an agency and that practical guidance of how you incorporate that into your existing policies and procedures, from the beginning an authorization to reusing one to putting your applications into an authorized environment, all of that, we're going to have guidance that helps support agencies through that. As we continue to grow, we'll continue to add best practices from agencies who've done it successfully. So not only just sort of the standard for what you should do, but having agency examples of how they've done it well and connect agencies with that.
So a couple other changes just to highlight real quick, Tom. FedRAMP next year will also revamp how it does third-party assessment organizations or 3PAOs. The goal is to enhance consistency and quality of those third-party assessors who take that initial look at those FedRAMP, those cloud service providers. There's going to be a new website as well, the new URL, fedramp.gov. But more importantly, the FedRAMP folks are going to try to make their information and resources easier to find. And then finally, FedRAMP is looking at a couple other things. There's some existing non-federal cloud security standards, such as those for HIPAA, and they're going to look at how could those be integrated or in some way substituted for the federal standards. The goal, again, reduce cost and time for vendors, but still require the rigor of certain level of security standards. So remember, three big goals. They want to improve FedRAMP's efficiency, take into account the changing landscape of cybersecurity, and ensure agencies understand the benefits of the program, all while keeping that rigor in place.
Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, thanks for that report.
Thank you.